Who was blessed with that Bible study?
I was. Is Jesus a perfect Savior? No. As that scripture was read, that He had not the nature of angels, but of men. You know, we are blessed. We're blessed. We're a blessed people that we had the opportunity. We had the God open up that for us. You know, we're just blessed. I really appreciated the things that came forth this morning already. It established who God is and who Jesus is and what His purpose is. I thought this morning I'd like to have three volunteers for reading three different scriptures. Just three different people volunteer, and I'll give you the scriptures. Jeremy, Matthew 24, verse 35. Ralph, Mark 13, verse 31. Ron, Luke 21, verse 33. Jeremy, you can go ahead.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Ralph, you can go ahead.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Ron, you can read yours too. What do you think he meant when he said that? Exactly. Heaven and earth shall pass away. I mean, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I think he probably had a reason for letting it being written in the Gospels three times. As we think about life and things, everything we see, everything we feel here, it's all going to disintegrate sometime. Jesus' words are never gonna, and God is never, He's always going to be. But think of when did God start? In Genesis there, He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So He was before the beginning of time, what we call time. John, he says, verily, I was before Abraham. So He was before the law. And in Hebrews, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, in this what we call our time, and He's going to be forever. So He was before time, He's in what we call time, He's always going to be. Something pretty established, something secure. Can we think of anything that is more secure than God, than Jesus? I can't. Like if we think of just say that granite over there or some stone, that's secure. It can stand time, but it will dissolve someday. And God's going to be always, and He will always remain. Let's just come before God and ask Him to be with us this morning. Lord, thank You for the word that was shared already this morning. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that today there will be more truth established in our hearts. Lord, as it was said that Jesus, He was not ashamed to call us brothers. Thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray that Your children would be strengthened today here as we look into the Word. Lord, give us each one of us grace to be honest with ourselves, Lord. Lord, we just pray also that Christ would be lifted up. Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would be here, Lord. And Lord, whatever word that You have, Lord, that You would interpret that to each individual's heart, Lord, that truly when You do return and in a time beyond time, Lord, that we can all worship You and be with You in eternity. Lord, we love You and we just pray that You would be here in our midst. Amen. For a verse this morning, for a scripture text, I'd like to look at Hebrews 12 and verse 2. And when Paul was here, when Paul was here, he preached to different people. And as he was speaking in Corinthians, he reminded the people of how he preached to them. He reminded his audience that his style of preaching, he said it was not with excellency of speech or enticing words. What was the reason that Paul reminded the people of that? Later on, it says, I don't think he was just making an excuse, you know, I wasn't educated, that's the reason I did this. But he plainly says in 1 Corinthians 2, faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's why he didn't choose to preach in an enticing way or in excellency of speech, but he wanted that each person would be established in the power of God and not just by some human wisdom. This morning, as we look at this verse in Hebrews, as we look over life, we can see that I just want to invite every one of us to judge our own hearts. Now I can look across this room and I can make judgment on every person, but it's probably not going to be accurate. But if we judge our own hearts, we know who we are. If we dare do that, it's probably going to be God in 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, we find it difficult sometimes to judge ourselves because we don't like who we see. We don't like seeing who we really are. We would rather be the person we want to be than the person who we really are. Last week, I was just driving down the road thinking about a couple of these things, and there was a song that I heard where it said, hello, reality. It's about time we turn and face you with honesty. And I was just challenged with that. Hello, reality. It's about time we turn and face you with honesty. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to do that. And this morning, as we look at Hebrews 12, verse 2, let's just be honest and let God speak to us. Chapter 11 here, he was speaking about faith, about the people, how they have walked with God in faith. And then 12 here, starting in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In verse 2, the first portion there is where I would like to look at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, this verse really stood out to me, and I've been looking at this verse ever since, and I'm asking myself if Jesus is really the author of my faith, of everything I believe in. There's times I didn't feel like judging myself, but God wants us to judge ourselves in that. And if we just look at looking, what does the word look mean? Looking. The dictionary definition is to turn one's eyes towards something or in some direction. That's not where it stops, but it says in order to see. So I look at something with a purpose to see it. So looking unto Jesus. So the purpose of looking is to see Jesus. And also another verse in regards to looking was Matthew writes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That would be looking. Or blessed are the clean in heart, clear in heart, pure in heart, or honest in heart, for they shall see God. Looking unto. So that means we're looking with the purpose of seeing something unto Jesus. This morning, who is Jesus? If we look in history, a lot of people have had a lot of different ideas of who this Jesus is. Even in Jesus' time, there was different ideas. Jesus was walking down the road one day and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" I don't think he was doing a poll to see where he was at with the leaders of the church that day. He was just simply asking a question, "Who do people say that I am?" One said Elias. One of them said, "Some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus asked them a question. He asked Peter a question. He asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" So this morning, who is this Jesus that we're supposed to look to? And the one that is the author of our faith. Like, who is he? Is he the Jesus of the Bible? Or have we idolized Jesus, possibly? Have we made him to something that maybe he isn't even? And when John the Baptist, when he came, he was baptizing people. Jesus came walking along, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Is that your Jesus? "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That would be worth looking to, wouldn't it? Or is it Jesus that you look to, or that we look to? Is he this Jesus in the manger, or the man on a cross, or just a person that we've been told about all our lives? Like, is he just a part of the Bible stories? We grew up with hearing all those things, and that's good. But who is he? Who is he personally to me? We see pictures of Jesus, and the Bible would indicate that he was a Jew. And a lot of these pictures, they would not necessarily look like a Jew. And that's not wrong in itself, I guess. But we can very subtly start thinking that Jesus is something that he wasn't. My point this morning isn't if he was a Jew or not, but it can happen so easily. If we get something in our mind, and what I really want to having us challenge ourselves is what we believe about Jesus, who put it there? The author of our life? So who is the author of the life? Jesus. He was Jesus of Nazareth, a Jew, a carpenter, a friend of sinners, the Son of God, the Word that became flesh, the one that dwelt among us. As we heard this morning, he became like his brothers. And Lamb of God, a complete, accomplished sacrifice. In Isaiah we read, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." Can we really fathom that? That Jesus was on the cross? He was dying. He was in pain. And God loved us so much. His people that had fallen away from him, he loved us so much that he was pleased to see Jesus bruised because of the result that it was accomplishing. That's amazing. Is that the Jesus that's the author of my life? That the Father could look down upon him, his Son, God, hanging on the cross, dying. He knew the pain he was suffering, yet the joy of people, just mankind, responding to that love was greater, that it was pleased him to look upon Jesus suffering there. I might have that out of context, Like Alvin said, sometimes we reach conclusions and a couple months later we say, you know what, that's not really what it meant. And I don't, this morning I just want to say, as I thought about that, it just, you know, God is good. He's good. We don't deserve His goodness. And is this a Jesus that is the author of our life? Is this a Jesus we're beholding? Or is this Jesus? Like, what have we made Jesus to be? I guess. In the Old Testament, they made idols, they worshipped them. I really want to, let's challenge ourselves. Have we made an idol out of Jesus that He isn't? In Colossians there, I've been reading a little in Colossians, and if we read in Colossians 1:13, I'll read through to 19. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Speaking about Jesus, this is the real Jesus. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, and our heavens here, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. That's an amazing Jesus. Let's keep Him there. Let's not bring Him down to our own little desires, our own little whims and wishes that would make us look and feel good. So looking unto Jesus, the author. What is an author? If we look at a definition of an author, is a person who writes a novel, a poem, essay, the composer of literary work. So I can just, as I imagine, Jesus, He wants to be the author of our life. He wants to be writing stuff upon our life. He wants to be the master planner of our life. And as we heard this morning, as Jeremy and Ralph and Ron read that scripture, would that be a good guy to have for the author of your life? I think it might be. Everything else is going to fade away. His word is never going to fade away. So if we can let Him write upon our hearts, that would speak to us that He can write something eternally secure, something that's actually going to last, something that has purpose. Like I mentioned before, I've been asking myself a lot of my beliefs, things I believe. Why do I believe this? Is it because of... There's different things. It can be our culture. It can be circumstances that we personally went through in life. Just life. Everybody goes through different things in life. It can be our heritage. And that's not saying that it's wrong. It's just... Has Jesus... When we were going through those things or in those things, was Jesus writing it? Or were we making... Or were we using the wisdom of men that Paul said, the reason I preached to you this certain way was that you would know it's the power of God, not wisdom of men. And that we would just ask ourselves, Do we believe this because it's intellectually sounds right, makes sense? Or is it because this is actually God's will? This is God's heart. And the author of our life, does Jesus compose, like write, our beliefs, what we value? What's valuable to us? What's precious to us? Has He composed that in our life? Or is it the desires of our flesh? Or pride of life? Who has composed it? Who has composed on what we believe is good and evil? Every person has a sense of good and evil. Even if they might not call it good and evil, even if they're atheists, they still have a belief that something's right and wrong, as what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Everybody has a belief. But who wrote that belief on our personal lives? Let's not look on other people and say, you know, I wonder if Jesus is his author. Because I believe for the church of Jesus Christ to prosper, we have to begin in our own hearts. That's if that happens, there's going to be a unity of the Spirit that we cannot develop, we cannot make. So, just looking unto Jesus, the author. The Old Testament, in Jeremiah, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. With my covenant they break. Although I am an husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Sounds like God way back there through the scriptures was already coming, that He wants to write our life. He wants to direct our life. He wants in our situations, if we as we face situations of life, how we respond to that. He wants to gently write that. So many times we resist that. Personally, myself, I resist that. He says, you know what? Here, I'm going to bring this situation to your life, and I want to write something beautiful. And we just resist it. We fight it because it's not pleasing to us. But God, at the end, He wants to nicely be the author of our life. Hebrews 8, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. It's basically just a repeat from Jeremiah there. But when I took them by the hand, led them out of the land of Egypt. They says, "For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds," that write that, "them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So He wants to, what we believe is right, and what we believe is wrong, He wants to write that. And I want to just give an example here of a couple things. I just want to clearly say, it's not that I'm saying one is worse than the other. Sin is sin right across the board. But we sometimes pass judgment based on what we believe. Let's say we were going through Milverton and we see Jeremy coming out of the beer store. We'll probably all pass judgment, right? We will think something. Was it wrong? Not necessarily. Who was the author of that thought? Each person is judged. I'm not like a right or wrong. Let's suppose we go down to Stratford. See, we've been taught drunkenness is wrong. And it is. It's sin. We go down to Stratford and we see Peter coming out of King's Buffet, sign in front, all you can eat for $13.99. Is there any thought go across our mind? Not really. Probably had a good meal. I mean, maybe you're in a different place, but that's me. Yet the Bible would speak about gluttony too, right? I'm not suggesting we don't go to King's Buffet. But in ways like that, we let culture, our heritage, just, you know, even your friends at work, you know, they have an influence on us, on how we interpret the Scriptures. And what we take as acceptable and what is not acceptable. And as we, let's purpose in our hearts to open the Word. And it's hard. You know, I've said I was born an Amishman and I'm always going to be an Amishman. I read my Scriptures as Amish person to some degree. And that's who I am. But God help me also see beyond that. It's, and every one of you, whatever culture you come from, will, there's verses that will jump out at you and that's what they mean to you because of your culture. That's not necessarily wrong. But let's get beyond that and see the whole Scriptures. That's just my challenge this morning, that Jesus can be the complete author of our life in every detail. And just, and this really comes into our hearts. Now, how many things have we done in our lives for the honor of men? Now that people will look at you and say, you know, that guy's really doing it. And the honor of men, that we're Christian. I just want to share something with you of my own experience. This has been, by the grace of God, I can say that I don't believe this is how it is anymore, but a couple years ago, just the Lord really convicted me on this. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come together in the morning and have prayer meeting before the service. But you know, there was a time in my life where I have to just say, to my shame, it was about the honor of the man more than about the glory of God. Because I was willing to not be nice at home to get started off, to come to the prayer meeting. You know? Can we judge ourselves in areas like that? So who was writing on my heart at that day? I'm not suggesting you don't come pray in the morning. But each person has a heart that we have to answer to God for. And He wants to write a beautiful story in our lives. He wants to be the author. Will we let Him? That's the reason that Paul said, I didn't preach this certain way. You wouldn't. Stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we want. The power of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Okay, so now we've started off on our walk with Jesus. He's the author. He's writing our lives. Are we going to let Him be our finisher? Or once we've kind of got it figured out how things should be, we will take our own route? Or are we going to, right till our deathbed, be willing to say, Lord, I just didn't have that right. Will you allow Jesus to write the very final last strokes upon your life? Let's think about again what Jeremy, Ralph, and Ron read this morning. Everything's going to pass away, but His Word. Is that somebody that we can trust to write the last details upon our life? Or will you compose your own fate? Make your own Jesus and choose your own death. We can read in about Stephen in Acts. So they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, and they stoned Stephen. And this is Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Who do you think, as Stephen lay there, was crying out, who do you think was writing, composing the last thing on his life? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that where you and I want to be? That's where I want to be. The finisher of our faith. Paul. For now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. Here he's ready to about die, and God is still writing. He's still writing upon his life. Beautiful. Beautiful. It's what he wrote. It's going to stand forever, right? Because Jesus' words are always going to be. So looking at something with the purpose of seeing it, Jesus, unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's just look at faith here. Faith is our confidence or our trust in something, a person or a thing. So where is our faith this morning? Every one of us has confidence in something. We trust something. We trust something. We trust something to get us to the end. We have confidence in something. We have confidence that something will work, a certain way will work. Who do you want to trust to present you faultless before the throne of God? There's only one. I don't think any of us want to trust and put confidence in our own wisdom or in our culture or what other people think, because there's only one, as he writes the last part of our life, that can stand before the Father. And with all our sin, with all our sin that we have confessed to him, we have been redeemed by his blood, he can look to God. We're going to be guilty. None of us has a chance. But this person, Jesus, can stand there and say, I justify him. I forgive him. And his word is going to stand forever if he says that to us. It's never going to change. Would we desire an author like that upon our lives? That is literally impossible to please God without faith. It says so in Hebrews. If we think about it, where do we think we will be if we do not please God? If we don't have faith, it's just impossible to please Him. In Hebrews it also says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He had this composition, or Jesus had composed this upon his life, or God had. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Now, this morning, as we look at this scripture here, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, you know, if we realize there's a lot of areas in my life that he's not been the author of, as we realize that, what happens? What happens within us? We realize we need desperately an author, and that is Jesus. We can't do without him. like when we actually, so many times we don't judge ourselves because we don't want to know who we are. But if we judge ourselves, we see exactly who we are. There's only one option that we have, really, and that is, you know, we're undone. We need Jesus. And in 1 Peter 2:7 it says, "Unto you, therefore, that believe, He is precious." So what happens when we judge ourselves? He just becomes precious. If we know Him, if we know the true Jesus, but if we have another Jesus that does not understand what we're going through and that does not have a complete sacrifice for our sins, He will not become precious. This morning, is Jesus precious to you? If not, maybe just ask yourself, who's He out there? Jesus wants to be precious to you. You know, it says that Jesus wants to present us faultless before the Father. And He's going to be pleased to do that. Jesus wants to do that. He wants to write our story. He wants to write our life. He wants to write our convictions, our faith. He wants to do that. And I just want to leave that thought with you this morning. Who's the author of our faith? Who is it? Jesus wants to be? And I don't want in any way. The real Jesus is a Jesus of hope. If you discover that He's not been the author of your faith, you can humble yourself and He becomes precious to you. That's the real Jesus. Like we read this morning in Hebrews there. We don't deserve it, but praise God. He's good. He's good. So let's go forth this week in our lives, and as we meet situations, let's not be scared if we see that, you know, Jesus was not the author of my life there. If we confess that, we repent of it, the only thing that can happen is He become more precious to us. But so many times we look at it, we say, you know what? That's going to hurt my pride. It's going to hurt what I stood for all my life. That's not the author that any of us wants. It just isn't. It just isn't. So let's turn to Jesus. Let Him gently write a beautiful story upon our lives. God bless you as you do that.